Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Ooh, baby, I love your way every day. Yeah, yeah. Chris, it is Sunday that we're putting this show out. I am over this weekend. I've had a mixed few weeks. I went to Lithuania. I had on one weekend. I had a Halloween party. Oh, I just said party. That's fucking lame, isn't it? And then I drove up to Hartlepool. Drove up to see my parents.
Oh, wow.
Drove for 5.5 hours. I just felt like the thing about driving is that, like, when you drive a huge distance, you get to spot things that you don't normally get to spot, like the A1M's fine collection of pornography shops on the corner of every junction, and also, like, I was able to sort of stop in little villages that I would never normally sort of select as a place to stop for a rest or whatever. Right. And that kind of made me think of Japan a little bit, because we will have a very set and specific list of sort of places that we all will have been as Japanophiles, Japan enthusiasts, your Kyoto's, your Osaka's, your Fukuoka's, because they're all on the Shinkansen. And it's not until you get in that car and get to sort of go off the beaten track a little bit that you explore and experience something different. And I'm very excited, or excitable, about the possibility of driving again in Japan if I don't get banned before that time, which I fully
intend. You say driving again. You've never driven in Japan, have you?
Never driven in Japan, no. But I have sat in the car while you got a speeding ticket, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah.
When you get your speeding ticket, Chris, did that go, like, do you get points on your license and stuff?
You know what? I don't really
No, I know I had to pay them like Ichimayen there and then.
Right.
And I think I got some points. I'm not really sure what happened. Although the points will be gone by now because that was a few years ago. So my license is nice and clean once again because you haven't been around for 2 years to cause me problems.
A smart yeah.
But no, driving Japan's a beautiful thing because, well, coming from the UK, right, they drive on the correct side of the road, on the left.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
What's the difference between driving in England and driving in Japan with like road markings and stuff like that? Is most of it in English? It's kind of you can kind of figure out what you're doing. Is it the same kind of things? Lane system, turning right, turning left. Can you turn right on a red light and stuff like America?
No, you can't. But what you can do, what I find the most problematic thing is the traffic lights are above you often. And coming from the UK, we only have the traffic lights sort of at the side of the road,
In front, yeah.
So I've often not realised that it's green or whatever, and I've stopped, or I don't stop because I can't see the traffic light, or I'm not looking upwards. Yeah. And that's something you've got to adjust to, lest you get in a tragic and brutal car accident. That's one thing to be careful of. That Americans have the upper hand on.
It sounds like, but they have lights above them, don't they?
They do.
The similar sort of system. But I think, and you were saying that you don't have any points in your license. You might have points in your license you don't know about.
Probably.
You've been blasting through red lights left, right and centre, you absolute orc.
But there's no roundabouts here. So you don't have to worry about British roundabouts, a purely maniacal British invention. So you don't have to worry about that. That's good.
Cool.
I think that's probably the hardest thing about driving, right?
But yeah, definitely.
You know, it's a good place. It's a good place for driving, and I highly recommend it. You know, something I think if you come here for like 3 weeks and you do 2 weeks, you do the standard golden route, you know, your Tokyo, your Kyoto, your Hiroshima, and then have another week, which I call the fun week, and you use that week to go on an adventure in a car and drive around and go to all the exciting places like that town that spent $200,000 on a giant squid statue. Go there, have a look around.
The real squid
game. And maybe
game.
More. The real squid game, $200,000 squid. Wait, I need to go and check that out. That's a wacky weekend in the making. And speaking of wacky weekend, I'm off with Connor to Hokkaido for a wacky weekend. I can't tell you what it is. Don't want to spoil the surprise.
Why are you going
for his
Hokkaido?
Channel.
It's bloody freezing, mate. You're going to be the only warmth coming from Connor's deep pipes on the train, yapping along like you got in trouble last time, as discussed in the previous podcast.
His deep booming voice, and in fact, we're not renting a car this time. We are doing it on trains. So
okay,
yeah, it's going to be a nightmare. We can't have a conversation because
Fermilla bloody bush, mate. Urusai.
Urusai. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen, isn't it? He's going to get told off again for talking with his big, deep voice. But yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Hokkaido. It is nice. And it should be just before the first snowfall, so it won't be too brutal. Of course, Hokkaido has some of the heaviest snowfall in the world. So if you don't like snow, don't go there.
They've cancelled their snow festival in January again, haven't they?
Oh no! Have they? I don't know.
I think did I hear that, or did it? Or was it was it this year's one? Oh, I don't know.
They probably cancelled this year's one, but you never know. The next one might be going.
Yeah.
Now, like 77% of Japan's population are vaccinated. They don't have too much to worry about. In theory,
my parents are off for their boosters today. Boosters.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, I'll let you know. I'll do a bit of research and have a look because I'd love to go back to that snow festival. And who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be able to come back over and experience it. Under the guise of a business trip. We've got
I've got a business meeting with some snow.
Got to import some radios. We've got a story here from Oliver from Australia. Oliver from Australia. Dear Chris and Pete, my name's Oliver and I'm from Australia. Today I bring you a story from when I went on my school Japan trip in 2019. God damn it, Oliver. When I went to school, my school trip was to a local farm every year. The school had no budget. They would take us to a farm and they'd go, look at this, it's a cow. Look at the cow. And you'd go, why are we here?
When I was at Catholic school, the most exotic trip was to Lourdes, which I didn't go to because I'm not Catholic. A holy site of sorts.
Still pretty good, though, compared to the local farm. Oliver beats us all with a trip to Japan. We were staying at a traditional inn in Takayama City in Gifu, taking a much-needed break from the hectic city atmosphere. The owners of the inn were an elderly couple that were still quite still quite sprightly, despite both of them being over 80 years old. One of the days on our stay, the old man decided he wanted to go foraging for mushrooms in the forest and that it would be a fun activity for a bunch of teenagers to do. Therefore, we all piled into his van, drove up the mountains into Gifu Prefecture. We then plunged into the forest, foraging bags in hand, and were told to search for mushrooms with a purple top. Oh, God. Our 85-year-old guide led us ever deeper into the Japanese wilderness, and after about an hour of walking, we were beginning to get tired. We were convinced we were lost, doomed to live out the rest of our days in a secluded Japanese forest with nothing but a couple of purple mushrooms for sustenance. As we descended into a gully and crossed a stream with our feet getting soaked in the process, we realised the old man had stopped suddenly. Next to the very overgrown path we were following was a dead animal of some sort. Upon closer inspection, it turned out to be a wild boar. All of us were very surprised, but the old man was concerned for some reason. We had to wait 20 minutes while he called the local authorities to discuss our discovery. And then we were off again, with no end in sight. But after another 10 minutes of walking, we suddenly emerged from the forest onto a road. As it happened, we'd come out of the forest only 300 metres from where the van was parked, and while we'd been convinced that this old man was leading us on an expedition doomed to end in starvation, he'd actually known exactly where we were the entire time. Suffice to say, it was an impressive testament to the man's knowledge of the area, and although we only managed to find six of the much-needed and much-desired purple mushrooms, our foraging mission remains one of the most memorable and talked-about events of our trip. Keep up the brilliant work, guys. All the best. Oliver from Australia. I don't know how I feel about that story. It felt it was leading somewhere big, and then it didn't.
It was fine.
A dead animal.
There's not much room in the forest. Because you get out and you're right close to where you got in. Yeah, I mean, I was expecting the twist was that there was no dead boar, except they'd eaten too many mushrooms and they'd gone quite mad.
It sounded like a short film that just didn't have much budget, and they were scaring the audience. Like, what's going to happen? They're going to get mauled to death by wild boars and bears. All right, it's a dead boar, and we didn't find any mushrooms. We found six.
No.
But, I mean, that's nice. It is those sort of moments, those poignant moments that Oliver experienced where you meet a local, they take you somewhere, they do something cool that sort of define your time in Japan, I feel. And I've got like moments like that where I've met someone and they dragged me into a forest to look at things, and it's a great experience. I think I did mountain biking in my first year with a group of Japanese cyclists. I was a bit out of my, you know, I was a bit out of their league. They'd cycle like every day up a mountain. I had never done that. I got on the bike, cycled for an hour. I got so like buggered from it. I was physically sick all over the forest. And it put me off cycling for 2 years until Jenny crossed Japan.
But and congratulations for the most epic misuse of the term. I was out of their league. You were very much out of their league, but you were very much under their league. Your league was a thousand leagues under their league.
They were out of my league. Yes, they were. But no, it's those moments, right? Like when it comes to travel, it's the stories that you remember the ones where you meet someone and have some interesting interaction. It might be romance. Yep. It might be mushrooms. It might be wild boars that are dead. It's those sort of moments that define your trip to Japan. If you come to Japan, guys, try and seek them out. Try and chat with some locals and see where the night takes you. Or follow an 86-year-old man into a forest and get some purple mushrooms of questionable edible nature. Purple mushrooms? Are they edible?
Purple mushrooms.
What do you know about purple mushrooms, Pete?
Great Prince album.
Perfect.
Chris, news. It's news time, my friend.
News time.
This happens every single show during the Apprentice Man podcast. And this one's, it's an interesting one because we talk about justice quite a lot. We talk about human rights quite a lot in Japan.
Justice delicious.
Justice delicious. I mean, this isn't a delicious story per se, but it is very interesting. Two death row inmates in Japan are taking legal action against same-day executions. Now, pretty much everywhere else in the universe, certainly in America, where I think a lot of our kind of like chat about capital punishment kind of exists. You get a bit of time. You could be in this kind of like death row stasis for a very, very long time. And when your actual date of your execution arrives, you have a little bit of time to mount some kind of objection. That's not the case in Japan. Prisoners on death row in Japan and notified only hours before they are to be executed. Capital punishment in Japan is conducted by hanging. You know, it's obviously my country gave that up a long time ago, not long enough in many people's opinions. But the lawyers of these two death row inmates in Japan who had taken legal action against the same-day execution basically say that the short notice is extremely inhumane. Death row prisoners live in fear every morning that that day will be their last. And the government has said that this is meant to keep prisoners from suffering before their execution, but that's no explanation. Overseas prisoners are given time to contemplate the end of their lives and mentally prepare. It's an interesting... I mean, if you have to have the death penalty, and I don't think anybody has to, it's an interesting approach because... You know, I don't want to be glib, don't want to take this too lightly, but is there something to be said for knowing that you're going to go and not having too much time to think about it? I think it's incredibly barbaric, any place that has the death penalty, but it's an interesting kind of sociological kind of thought, I suppose, isn't it? Or physiological. I don't know where that particularly sits, but it's not great. And there are 100 people, more than 100 people on death row in Japan. None have been executed for nearly 2 years. So that's what I don't understand. Like, you're on death row and they just don't execute anyone for 2 years. I mean, they could get that done in a year, surely. I mean, if you know that's your fate, the most humane thing is to actually do, you know, follow through, presumably, on what has been actually decided. I don't know. I don't know what my thoughts are on this. I just think that any developed nation shouldn't really have the death penalty because there are so many examples of misjustice and miscarriage of justice that you can't roll back from, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I'm certainly... You know, I read about certain crimes, I think, yeah, maybe just kill them. Death penalty.
Right, then... okay, good. All right, well, we've got Chris's take on that. Chris?
That's my take.
Big thumbs up. Well, no, big thumbs up, yeah.
If you know, someone who commits someone like mass murder, right? Somebody commits mass murder and they admit to doing it and there's no shadow of a doubt, then maybe it's something to consider. But
you'll be pretty fucking mad to kill that many people, though, haven't you?
It happens.
You've got to be pretty loopy. Yeah,
yeah. They could be looping. There's always a way around it. There's always a loophole. There's always some sort of reasonable doubt. But yeah, there's no doubt that it is horrific. But the death penalty
could it be
is
done
very
more
much,
humanely.
Well, yeah, the fact that these people have been 100 people in death row have been sitting there for years, not knowing if today is their last day. I imagine that must be a pretty
horrific
insane,
place to be in.
Unpleasant experience. And what if they are, you know, they have been. One of them is innocent and they've just had to endure that horror. That's quite unpleasant to consider. But I think if you speak to most people in Japan, though, they do support the death penalty. Most people here do support it that I know and that I speak to.
For talking loudly on trains.
Yeah. Hopefully Connor and I travelling in Hokkaido on a train, that won't be cause for being taken to prison. But I don't know, really. I don't know what the 100 people on death row, I don't know what they've done to warrant that. I don't know, really. But
glad you're not in charge.
I'm not the right person to administer justice. It depends what mood I'm in. My mood, it goes,
delicious
depends
justice
on what I've eaten. If I haven't eaten enough chicken, I would be a not very nice ruler.
Yeah.
And I think the main takeaway here is I should not decide who lives and dies.
No.
And that's the best. But,
thank the Lord, you're not.
But it will be interesting to see how this comes out, to be honest. It will be interesting to see if the people here suing the government, and they've asked for 22 million yen, as you said, about $200,000 in compensation. It will be interesting to see what happens here. And if the government says, yeah, you're right, maybe we should tell people on death row when they're going to die and not tell them the same day. That'll be something to follow, something to be interesting. But I think they will decline it. I think the government here will just sort of say, no, shut up, given the popularity of the death penalty in Japan. That's my thoughts on that. We'll be back with Q&A and the fax machine, your questions in just a moment.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL. Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3... and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer.
For me, I would pick Lee Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season, and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Harry O'Neill. Hi, Harry O'Neill. Hi, Chris and Pete. Quick fire question for you both here. What are the most disappointing places you have ever visited in Japan? Congratulations on you, your new studios. No, Pete, I haven't forgotten about you, Bob the Builder. Harry O'Neill, thank you for your love for my little studio.
Most disappointing place in Japan. Mm. I don't really like Niigata. I have some good friends in Niigata City. Yeah. Niigata City is not too bad, but just generally, Niigata Prefecture, I just find it very big and very dull to drive through, as I have done literally dozens of times. It's just a big like a big plane full of nothing. And I just find, yeah, Niigata a little bit underwhelming. And that's why on the first season of Journey Across Japan, for the sort of 4 or 5 day stretch where we go through it, we really had to do interesting things to try and make it fun, whether that was going into an abandoned tunnel, sake vending machines, what else did we do? We made a commercial for Dr. Jelly, really clutching at straws during the Niigata segment in a way that we didn't have to do in any of the other sort of 12 prefectures we passed through. So for me personally, I find Niigata a bit disappointing, but I do have some very good friends there, and Ken Watanabe is from there, and if he knows that I've slagged it off, he'll kill me. So I retract all my statements. What about you?
I had a lovely lost afternoon walking around Niigata, and then just got drunk by myself in a gay bar, turns out.
Naturally. But yeah, where have you been disappointed by?
Disappointing. Is it Kanazawa? No, not Kanazawa. That's the ninja town. What's the one that's like south of Tokyo on the coast? I was a little bit disappointed by the beaches down there, down that way. Let's have a look. Kanagawa. I was a little bit disappointed. Yes, that sort of gaff, yeah. And the Tokyo Tower as well, Chris. Not a big fan of that. Very underwhelming.
Tokyo Tower? Yeah. I mean, no one...
Gets a bad rap, doesn't it, anyway?
The view's all right. There's better places, like the roof of Mori Tower in Roppongi, and apparently the new Shibuya Scramble building in Shibuya is supposed to be outstanding because it overlooks the crossing. But yes. I will let you know when I go up here. I'll give you the full review. We've got one here from Catherine from Cambridge. Dear Chris and Pete, greetings. My name's Catherine. The one in Ontario, Canada, rather than the UK. But we stole the name from you. How dare you, Catherine? How dare you? In both of your opinions, what are the best places to spend Christmas in Japan? And what are the best or your favourite Japanese Christmas activities? It's unlikely we'll be able to return to Canada this Christmas due to COVID. We spent Christmas 2020 in Okinawa. Thank you in advance. All the best, Catherine from Cambridge. I love Christmas. It's like my favourite time of year. The idea of spending it somewhere hot, I don't know if I'd like that. I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe it's good though. Okinawa is pretty awesome. I think for me, I was in Kyoto for a lot of last Christmas doing some documentaries about townhouses, and I really like Kyoto. A beautiful place in winter. It's still kind of warm down there, but the city is a really good city for walking around in cold weather is Kyoto. You can wrap up warm. There's lots of stalls selling sort of hot coffee and hot tea and lots of sake and things. Also, maybe it's places in the mountains like Takayama, where you can find purple mushrooms, as we discovered earlier. And maybe as well Sapporo. I have very fond memories of Sapporo in the winter. It's very, very cold, as Pete Donaldson will attest to, but beautiful. Sapporo, Takayama, Kyoto, those for me are the three best places to probably spend Christmas in Japan. Any thoughts, Pete?
Yeah, I guess you're in a situation where you have to kind of roll with the punches to a certain extent, my favourite phrase ever, because you don't really know what you're going to expect compared to what you'd expect at home, I suppose. But, I mean, I've only really heard of the KFC and working Christmas activity that you've kind of got involved with a couple of times, Chris, but that's about it. I just think I would just love to just take a few days over Christmas and just enjoy Christmas from a distance to a certain extent. Because like you're kind of watching people on your social media enjoy Christmas. And you're in a place that doesn't really celebrate Christmas all that much. So or they do on a very kind of like tertiary, would you call it? Or a very kind of like a skin deep level, so to speak.
In deep level. Well, I mean, there's no Jesus Christ and Santa Claus. Well, he's around, but I don't mind Christmas in Japan as much as I used to. Obviously, I've spent the last sort of two Christmases here because of COVID, but it's not too bad. I like the fact they still have the music and the decorations, and you can sort of delude yourself that it's Christmas, but it's never going to be anywhere is near as good as back home, really, where it's got a bit more depth to it and a bit more. Yeah. And also, it's very anticlimactic. Like in the UK, and obviously anywhere, Europe, America, where we celebrate Christmas, you've got that nice build up to Christmas, and it builds up, and then it comes Christmas Day, and it's a wonderful, magical day. Here in Japan, I remember working on my first two or three Christmases here, and it was very rubbish and very unpleasant. Not fun. And I fell over in some snow. Awful. We got one here from Kendall. Hello, Sir Christopher and Sir Peterfer. Mine doesn't really work, does it? My name's Kendall. I'm tragically American. And I'm currently sitting on the train from Edinburgh to Aberdeen. Very good. Oh. I'm currently living in Aberdeen and have been living here for the past 8 years. But I'm working in Edinburgh, so here I am, sat with my cheap plastic bottle of wine, headed home after a week of working in the tourist capital of Scotland. This is very vivid imagery. It's very poetic, isn't it? So I feel like I'm reading a diary, Bridget Jones's diary or something. Does this happen in Japan? Do people live several hours away and spend the work week in a different city, traveling home on the weekends? Is this something uniquely Western? Let me know your thoughts. Keep up the hard work. Kendall from Connecticut. To be honest, I think not so much, not on this scale. Like in Japan, certainly in cities like Tokyo, a lot of people work an hour to a 90-minute sort of train ride or commute away from the workplace. So I don't know what the distance is between Edinburgh and Aberdeen. Do you know what it is? Several hours?
It's a fair old schlep. I'd say about 4 hours, maybe. I don't know. I've only ever been to Aberdeen once. And as they say, Aberdeen's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And my best friend, one of my best friends, Craig, is from Aberdeen. And he's lovely. And everyone I've met from Aberdeen is lovely. But it is it's a grim old industrial kind of, it's where like the oil rig, the oil industry in Scotland is it's pretty rough up there.
Oh man, I'd love to check out Aberdeen. I'd love to check out Scotland a bit more. I've only been to Edinburgh and it was absolutely stunning. But I don't think people do sort of commute like that here that much. Certainly when I went to China, I know it's quite common in China for people to just sort of live and move away from their entire families for months at a time to work and save money. But in Japan, not so much. The longest commutes I know from friends are sort of an hour or two, an hour and a half on trains in Tokyo, where obviously Tokyo is fabulously expensive to live in a central area, and a lot of people don't have the choice or the kind of chance to live near their workplace. But one of the benefits of living somewhere like Sendai or Sakata, Yamagata, where I used to live, is you can live and work a lot closer to your workplace here. It's a lot cheaper. And that's another reason to avoid places like Tokyo and move out to more rural places. You can have a better quality of life by far. Like the people I knew living in Yamagata, they certainly weren't the richest people. Yamagata, one of the most poorest prefectures in Japan, but the quality of life was head and shoulders above Tokyo. And people in Yamagata were all the more happier for it, living in nature and being able to live and work a lot closer. And have that not have to commute for hours on end on busy trains. But that's those are my thoughts on that. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you to do it all over again right here on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.